cliffcentral.com.
We make the speakers vibrate, and that is Reason the Mass, or just Reason nowadays. He used to be Reason the Mass once upon a time, when I was still an actual, like, major fan, like, insane, when it was still Reason the Massacre. That's when I think he produced some of the best South African hip-hop that he could have ever done in his whole life. But on that one, he's with the Super Mega and Kulichana, simply called Yippie-Ki-Yay. Just like that, we're in here, man. 20-something, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Just Another Cool Kid, and I'm joined by my love monkey.
Hi, love monkey.
Who's not feeling too well. What's wrong, Lonely
hey,
Sam?
You know how life is. I know how life is.
Yeah, it can get a bit hectic, right?
Yeah.
Plus, we were talking about it just before we stepped in here. The week the country has had, like...
I feel like the year in G.
First, you think so?
It's not even over yet, but yeah, no.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's too deep.
It's so deep. Like, nowadays, I'm actually afraid of picking up the newspaper because I know I'm just waiting for bad news. Like,
yeah,
just more and more bad news.
Going on your phone, G, you know.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, man. But this whole recession thing, like, for me, it has never felt real. Like, even when we went through the recession, when was it? 2009?
Yeah.
For some odd reason, it just didn't resonate with me. It was just another term. Like, I was watching the news and in the markets today. Like, that to me,
that
was what it was. Like, it didn't really affect my life. But I don't know. Maybe it will affect it this time around because I'm a little bit older now, you know.
Yeah, responsibilities and everything.
Yeah, like, I have to pay bills and stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're definitely gonna feel it.
Which is why I always say, don't go up. It's a trap. If you are 15, 14 or
stay
whatever.
Stay there.
Like, you must milk the shit out of that year. Like, if you're 14, just stay there. Hard even. Mm-hmm. Like, don't move. Mm-hmm. Don't twitch.
Unfortunately, that's not how it happens. You have to grow up.
It's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Because, I mean, can you, if you were to walk up to a 10-year-old today and ask him or her, what are they doing next week? I've got no idea.
Tomorrow.
And it's okay. Like, it's okay. It's like, so what are you doing tomorrow, Johnny? I don't know. Okay. That's cool.
It's okay. It's fine. You know, it is what it is.
What are you doing next week?
I'm going to Durban, actually.
Look at that. You're going to Durban.
Yeah.
And you're on your own dime. It's not like someone decided to give you a free trip to Durban.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Anyway, we're going to be talking about art in motion today, you know, because for some odd reason, when you say art to someone, they always, in their minds, all they see is like an art gallery,
yeah,
or an exhibition, or, you know, they don't put legs on the capabilities of artists,
yeah,
and the amount of influence and how much musicians, painters, artists from all walks of life, they affect our daily lives. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When I mentioned the newspaper early on, Zapiro, for instance.
Yeah.
His art is a comment on life as it is, that as it surrounds us. You get what I mean? It's sometimes a bit harsh, but nonetheless, it gets us talking.
Talking, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So today we're going to be joined by a couple of artists, you know what I mean, from all walks of life. And they're going to be explaining basically what they feel about what it is they do, where they want to go with what it is they do. And I'm hoping we
and
get...
And why are they doing it?
Yeah. I'm hoping we get a couple of saucy moments. Cause
I
you know
so
when
too.
Yeah
I
you know
so
musicians walk into a studio and they start talking and whatnot. It's like, yeah, I've got to protect my reputation. I've got an image and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear some sauce. I'd like to hear some sauce, man.
That would be lovely.
Right, but listen, if you want to be a part of the conversation, it's really simple. All you have to do is follow us at JNG_live or send your tweets at cliffcentral.com with the hashtag 20-something. You could do the old school thing and give us a call on 0861-555-189 or send us your messages on WhatsApp.
On 079-748-2090.
Isn't it cool? We've got a WhatsApp number.
It's so great.
So cool. I keep pointing that out, but I think it's so cool.
It's just cool.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed something as well.
Yeah.
Like, it seems as if every time Clip Central starts doing something, mm-hmm. everyone else follows. Like, all
actually,
of a sudden, radio stations
now, like,
have got WhatsApp
has,
numbers.
Like, WhatsApp numbers and like, stuff. Hmm. Like, okay, we see you.
Okay.
We see you.
Yeah, well. We
started it.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, we see you. As well as, well, we didn't start online radio, but
of
I mean,
course.
It was, I mean, we kind of brought it to the country on
yeah.
a higher
yeah.
level. Now all of a sudden, DJ Smooth's got a place to go. Now Touch has got a place to go. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But it's fine. It's fine.
You're not being saucy. Just
no, I'm
stating
not. It's
the
facts.
Truth. Yeah,
it's just facts. Mm. I wasn't trying to, you know, throw shade or anything. I'm just letting you know the way it is. All right, cool.
It
so
is what it is.
Right now, we're joined by two really cool individuals. let me not even introduce Dominic. Right.
Yeah.
What I'm gonna do instead is this. Right. Like if. You have ears, or in fact, if you are alive in this country, you have to know this song.
And you don't leave another rock.
You have to know this song.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what have you been partying to for the last exactly. couple of months? Seriously?
I thought we had it all. I knew we'd rise and fall. But I gave you my heart. I gave you my all. I thought we had it all. I did what I could. And you kissed me like somebody who loves me should.
For all the women that are listening, yeah, yeah, yes, he actually is.
Oh yeah,
he really is here. Believe
yes,
it or not,
it is.
How you doing, man?
I'm very good after that introduction. Thank you very much for having me. This is my third time back at Cliff Central, which is great. And obviously with the whole Gareth Cliff and Idols connection, it's cool to be always be a part here and support something that yeah, a person started who I have a lot of respect for.
That's really cool,
nice.
Man. The track we just played.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So I'd been working with Universal in a lot of different sort of capacities over a couple of years with other artists and management and A&R and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, one day I got sent my first single, which is Better Day, that did quite well, produced by a young kid called Joe Louis, and wrote that and brought that out, and Universal loved it and signed that. And then Kent happened to be in the Universal offices, and he just kind of said, dude, I need a single. He didn't say I need an extra song for my album. He said,
yeah.
I need a single for my album that's out in June sometime, the 4th or something last year. And yeah, like got a phone call the next day because Universal suggested me, and he heard the idea. And yeah, we went into studio that day, and the following Wednesday, the album went to print.
Wow.
Just like that.
Just
yeah.
like that.
So it was an existing idea that I'd written, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And Ken kind of heard something in it. And obviously, we had to take it a bit more to the house space to let it make sense.
Yeah,
yeah. It was
yeah,
just yeah. a song written on guitar. But yeah, so it came about. I had a lot of luck on that one, I think. So I'm very proud of it.
You know, some people like to call it luck. I just think it's just the way things were supposed to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm. Look, I'm stoked I could take advantage of the situation that was presented
sure,
to me.
Sure.
I think there was no like guarantees, but the song just worked, man, and I'm just really chuffed with it.
And it still does. It still does.
Thanks,
trust
it's
and believe
a, for right. a long time.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. It's got such a, I don't know, the word I'm looking for seems to escape me. But I mean, it's almost like it's time tested. Like
yeah, like timeless.
It'll, it'll just stick around. It's just a really genuinely good song.
Thanks,
yeah.
man. Look, I like to think that song was something that was very personal to me. I think it's the most personal song I've ever written. So for someone to be able to take it and put it in a space where hopefully people remember the song and not remember me, because that's always what I've tried to achieve. I've tried to tell stories where, you know, because the music's going to outlive me. I'm
yeah,
going to die
sure.
in however many years, and hopefully many.
yeah, yeah.
I'm
yeah.
only 25. But the music always lives on, you know. And I think if people can look back and go, holy moly, that got me through this, or got me through that, or I remember being in the same situation. It was shit, but that song helped me out of it. Like,
yeah, for sure.
That's kind of what I wanted to achieve with it, yeah.
You know, nice. You don't typically hear musicians, especially in this day and age, speaking the way you do. Like a lot of them are like, yeah man, I did this, I it's all
yeah.
about me. What is it about you think that makes you focus on the craft more than what comes with
Look,
being a musician?
I think off the bat I need to say that I can't lie and say that I don't enjoy being on stage, and I don't enjoy playing in front of big crowds, and I don't enjoy the pats on the back I get from people, you
yeah.
know. I mean, obviously that's a human thing. It's a human, I mean, I'm playing Park Life tomorrow. I'm super excited
yeah.
just to be on stage and share new music with people. But I think it's because of what music means to me
yeah.
and you know, there are countless songs over the years that I love, and it's regardless of who sang them, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Where, and I always refer back to the 80s, and the 80s was one of those eras where really there were so many one-hit wonders that it's just incredible how the music spoke back then, you know.
Yeah.
It wasn't this huge commercial drive of like, it's Katy Perry, so it goes number one, or it's Drake, and it goes, and particularly on streaming services we see now, Drake drops an album, 15 of his tracks are in the top 20. Same thing with Ed Sheeran, for example. So I think it was a very different time, and I love the romanticism behind it, kind of.
Yeah,
you know?
And when you think about it, it's run about that time when lyrics stopped being printed onto CD sleeves.
Yeah.
Because nowadays the message is just not there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think really good pop music that still tells stories still has a time and place. I mean, you see the success of Adele, and I think that's the reason, I've got a lot of people that listen to Ed Sheeran's new album, and they're like, I'm like, dude, just take time and listen. These are experiences that this guy's had, and he's just literally putting them into music. And that's what I always try and do. Every single song I write has got some sort of either I've been through it with a friend who's gone through that,
or I've
seen someone else go through that, or I've been through that myself, and so was Love You Still. So I think it helps. I always try and be super, super honest with myself. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons as well, where I'm just really trying to be honest in my performance, in my writing, a lot of the time people say, look, take a hard look at yourself in the mirror. And I do that a lot.
Like, do you have like a picture in your mind of someone you would like to become at some point in time? Like if there's one musician, I really hate being asked this question personally, because
it's a difficult one.
Asks me, what's your favorite musician? Well, for today, it's Bonobo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tomorrow might be something
I'm the same.
Else.
You know, I'm someone that I don't like golden oldies as such. So if I go to a place and, you know, people lose their minds over, like, I don't know, Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams, I'm like, guys, how often have we heard this? Like, you know, the relatability is gone for me personally.
All right.
So I'm the same as you. You know, every month, at the moment, Dua Lipa is everything to me. Mm-hmm. She's also very nice to look at. So, I mean, it's a double whammy. But I think Ed Sheeran, man, and I hate it because it's super cliche, but I think if you look at what he's known for, you know, being just a dude that writes music and loves music and tells stories, and it's just someone you can really, really relate to. That's what I want to be. You know, I don't want to ever be someone that's seen as elitist or too famous for, you know, like that stuff is just, it's just too much for me. And I hope I can come back in 5 years, and no matter what my success or whatever, I can come back and say, I told you so. I still want to be that person, you know, because I think a lot of people come up and they're like, yo, man, I just want to stay humble, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then 5 years down the line, they like appear with stacks of money in their music videos.
Yeah. Sure.
Speaking about money, I don't have to point out who I'm talking about, I don't think.
That's all I'll say.
I'm so glad you got it.
Spies.
You know,
like, I just have to be super honest. And, you know, I just think you've got to be honest with yourself. And that's what
you
I want to remain.
You have to be. It starts with you at the end of the day.
Yeah.
For sure. And ends with you.
As well.
Yeah.
And when bringing up Sasha, I won't mention his name. There's so much that happens when there's a feud between this artist or that artist. Do you think you'll ever get to a point whereby you will bring your personal issues with musicians or producers to the public? Because it seems as if that's one way to sell records.
The day I wake up and see a point to that is the day I'll start doing it. And at the moment, I don't see a point in it. You know, I also, in the sphere that I'm in, I get that hip-hop, you know, hip-hop is fueled by Black Twitter as well. We can't deny.
We cannot.
Hip-hop's fueled by woke Twitter as well. Mm-hmm. Like, Twitter's where it's at. And feuds just seem to thrive on Twitter.
Yeah.
And because you've got a tool that's driving your industry and you can use that tool to sell records or get people to listen to your music, cool. But I'm not in that space at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think Twitter's got my space in my career for sure, without a doubt. But I like to think that in the space that I operate in, there's no need for it. And until I see a need for it, which I don't think I ever will, I'm not gonna mess around with that sort of thing, man.
You know, but I mean, sometimes you just get really mad. Like, you know, this guy is pissing me off. You know,
for sure, man.
In a truthful reaction to things, you could possibly channel that through your music, you know. But I think what Look, what I makes think, it tacky for
I think,
me,
I think through my music, yeah, for sure. I think there's ways of getting around it, though. And I,
yeah, you without know, mentioning I, names, you know, and you don't like
diss tracks, like dude, like if I wrote a diss track, people would find it lame because I'm not a hip hop artist, you know. I mean, imagine dissing someone with like a melody, man. Like,
yeah,
you know,
what I mean? I'm gonna kill you.
Like, no, come on, tomorrow. Who's gonna take me seriously? Yeah, no, seriously. So I think obviously there's ways to, you know, a lot of artists these days, particularly, talk about the industry and the challenges they have, and also getting lost in the industry, for example. And those are cool things to write about, I think. And there's ways of going around it. But I think the literal sort of diss track, there's no space in. I don't see a space. I don't see myself ever doing that, really.
I guess, to each his own.
I mean, as I said, I hope in you 5 years I can come back and I can be like, told you, never did a diss track. And I'm not sitting here and you're like, so about that diss track.
When I think about the South African music industry in the way that it stands at this point in time. We just recently had the Summers, and and there's been a lot of controversy about that. Babes or Duma not winning a Summer. And do those kind of things cross your mind? Do you care about awards? Is that...
I think fundamentally, no. I think fundamentally, no, I don't care about awards.
Okay.
I think there's other things that I can measure the success in my career by, hopefully in 2-3 years, where I can look back and go, that's cool, man. Like, you know, I've played on amazing lineups. I've had amazing experiences. I've created amazing experiences for people. I think at the end of the day, again, I think those are the things that people remember. You know, if you ask someone, listen, who won Record of the Year in 2008 at the Summers? No idea.
No idea.
I promise you. No idea. Not even some people on the Summers board will know who won.
Yeah.
So I think, but I still think it's a really cool recognition, and it's,
for
you
sure.
know, and I think it would look good in my bedroom, on a shelf, for example, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to pull the whole Leanne Liebenberg at the U Spectacular Awards 2 years ago or something. She'd won her like 9th Couple of the Year award, and she's like, this is going to make a great doorstop.
Oh,
and I was
like,
lady, you can't say that at the awards.
Yeah.
Like, tell
sure.
people that, but like, so I'll never be that guy.
Yeah.
But I think there is a sense of recognition, particularly in the Summers. I think you get the fan voted awards, like the Metros and the MTV Bass, Music Bass Awards or whatever they're called. And fan awards, to be honest, we know who's going to take them home every year. So
sure.
I think the Summers is cool because it's reputable people, you know. I like to think you're reputable people on a board that know a lot about music and choose the best product.
For sure.
And sorry, babes, if that offends you, I'm sorry. But people have chosen Questa for a reason. And if you look, how can you take anything away from Questa?
For sure, for sure. More especially the amount of work that he's put in over the years.
Dude, that guy's, and Senzo's such a great guy as well. And I always call him Senzo because I want people to know that he's Senzo. That's who he is. You know, Questa is, he's somebody, he's Senzo, you know?
Yeah.
And he's such a cool guy, and he's worked so hard. And he, you know, you think back to things like the feature he did on Crash Car Burn, for instance. There was that song there together. And no one else in the hip hop scene would have done that purely because they think they're better than that.
For sure.
And he was like, you know what, this works, I'm going to do it. And the song did really, really well. So that's what I like about Senzo. I really, really like that. And, you know, he's always got time for everyone. He's got great people around him. You know, shout out to Ntlamulo, who's been there with him from day one as well. Great people. So, dude, if Questa had won every single Summer, even Best Maskandi, I would have been like, take it.
Yeah.
With all... Everyone in their careers, they've got challenges and the ups and the downs. How have you had challenges?
Yeah, man. Like, I think if you followed my career from day one, I was on Idols in 2012, season 8, in Kayam Tetwazia. I finished 7th, one place behind Shekana, by the way. Shout out to her, a very good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the best time of it, you know. I got a lot of abuse on social media at the time. But, you know, and that was a challenge, I think. And the big challenge was kind of coming out of Idols. And in Idols, when you're in the top 10, you're like treated like you've made it. You're there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's one of the challenges because for a lot of people that come out to show.
Anything can happen.
Yeah, and you leave. And then the next year, there's a new season. And then you were just the guy that was 7th last year, you know. And there's a guy that's 7th this year who's more relevant. So I think that's one of the challenges. I went from having... it all being treated like I've made it to on the biggest show in the country to nothing, and I had to kind of find a way to bounce back. And slowly but surely, you know, I think with Love You Still and the first track Better Day and my deal with Universal and the Deezer Next deal, you know, I'm starting to find my feet again. So I think challenges are great, though, because I mean, if life were easy, would it ever be worth it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I heard Denzel Washington his acceptance speech. He got an award for something.
Yeah.
I think he for the recent movie Fences.
Yeah.
And he said that ease is more of a threat to progress than hardship.
Mm.
You know, and
for sure, man.
Without those experiences, you it's like you would have leveled out somewhere. If everything was easy, what would be the point?
Again, that's why it's super important to be honest with yourself again, and I'm super honest with myself, is that, you know, and people often go, so how does it feel to have your music on radio? I'm like, it's great. And they're like, no, but shouldn't you be more excited? I'm like, dude, like, if I'm really honest with myself, this is just the start, hopefully.
Yeah,
you know?
For
and
sure.
That's just me being honest with myself. It's not being arrogant. I have got no expectations, but I realize that this is the first step in many, hopefully, in my mind and in my career and what I want for myself.
Yeah.
And I think by wanting more, you can achieve more, you know? I think you only get what you want and strive for in life. You don't get... If you settle, man, I could have gone, cool, love you still. One of the biggest songs in the country. Thanks for coming, guys. Now I'll just, I don't know.
I'll show up in ads or something.
Yeah, man. So I think it's also, you get what you want from life. You don't get what you want. You get as close to what you want in life.
For sure.
So that's...
You know, being, as you said, you did Idols and all of that stuff. Have you found it difficult navigating the ins and outs of the industry, or?
So to tell you the truth, and again, in hindsight, like, this is the best decision I made. When I came out of Idols, I started working for a small record label and did PR for a bunch of other artists and did bookings for a bunch of other artists and did management and A&R and all the other things that an artist doesn't do for 4 years before I eventually got my deal with Universal. So I have not found it difficult, luckily, particularly as an artist, because I do know the ins and outs.
You've been on the ground, you know. You got to step behind the camera.
Yeah, man. And I've worked on events like the Channel O Awards in artist management and dealt with all these people we've spoken about. And I guess I've learned what to do and what not to do. I've just been super, super fortunate that I've had that experience and I can put that feather in my cap and I can move forward. So yeah, I like to think that I'm not just an artist. I'm someone who really just, I'm super passionate about the industry, first of all, and second of all, I'm just someone that has just dived headfirst into the industry and tried to absorb as much as possible.
You know what? Your outlook is really refreshing. I've come across so many people that have been given fantastic platforms, and once that platform disappears, it seems as if they disappear along with it.
Yeah,
you know, and everyone is so finicky about time, as in, no, I'm 21, I need to be a millionaire by now, kind of things, you know what I mean? For you to be able to take a step back and still be within the industry but not doing what you're doing, I have to take my hat off to that. Because like industry insiders, there's a lot of bad vibes in there, you know what I mean? Once you get close enough to actually meet some of these people, you realize that a lot of it is bravado, and you know, everyone's got this thing about them, I'm this guy or I'm that guy, and it kind of makes it difficult for those people who are maybe, let's say, way behind the ears and just have this dream in their head,
for sure, man,
to jump in.
You know what, the one thing I always say, and I've said it so often, is like, you need to realize how many people would want to be in your shoes.
For sure.
And I say that about everyone. And I say it when people do amazing things and are amazing people and artists. And I say the same thing, and particularly the same thing, when people behave in certain ways that I just do not agree with. Yeah. And I go, dude, there's a kid sitting somewhere at home who just dreams to be in your position, and you're basically pissing on it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's also another thing that keeps me so grounded, is like, dude, I'm so fortunate. And I say it so often, people are like, Dom, it wasn't luck. You like wrote the song. I'm like, I know I did, but there's no reason people have to wake up in the morning and listen to my music.
There isn't.
People choose, for some reason, people wake up in the morning and they go, I want to listen to Dominic Neal's music. I have no control over that.
For sure.
And no matter how good the song is, I'm lucky enough that people wake up and feel that way about what I write and the story I tell. And obviously I put a lot of time into it, and the goal is always for them to do that. But, you know, I think, as I said, I don't think people wake up in the morning and look at themselves in the mirror enough and go, am I honest with myself?
Yeah.
Is this really me?
Yeah.
What situation am I in? What honestly do I think of myself, and what do other people think of me?
Is this
and
something
no shame
I want to be
that,
doing?
Man.
Yeah,
no
for
shame
sure.
That, dude.
For sure. I mean, introspection is something that everyone needs to do. You know what I mean? Because you end up finding yourself in unnecessary, uncomfortable situations because instead of saying no, you said yes.
Yeah.
You know? And for sure. Speaking of saying no and yes, you know, so there's this idea that if you are going to join the entertainment industry, you should say yes to whatever is given to you.
Yeah.
Do you feel that knowing when it's right and when it's wrong is...
So, I'm in a super fortunate position that there's a lot of young people that come to me for advice, right? And that in itself is just incredible. It blows my mind that people come to me and go, they want to like pick my brain, you know?
Yeah.
But they come to me and they're like, should I do this and should I do that? I said, dude, you've got to pick your journey, man. And I think that's a big thing you have to remember. Dude, I did say yes to a lot of free gigs. Did it make me a better artist? Yes, but that was me.
Yeah.
That was Dominic. No, that was me. Nasty, 5 years ago. Maybe he said no to a couple of things that a lot of people said he should have been. Can you question him? Can you question him?
Right now you can't. Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
So I say to everyone, you know, some people rolled eyes when they heard I signed a deal with Universal, a full 360 deal, which a lot of people go, and there's this huge stigmatism in the industry, and it's actually an ignorant and naive stigma around record labels in the music industry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people went, I can't believe you signed a deal and they own your masters. And I'm like, dude, my journey, Dominic Neal.
Yeah.
You don't know I've worked with these people for 3 years. You don't know that there's relationships, there's things, there's so many things that make this part of my journey and make me feel that this is part of my journey.
For
did
sure.
I just turn over one day and go, I'll sign a 360 deal? No.
No.
And if I did, yes, you have the right to question me. So I just tell everyone, sit down, think, make the best decisions. And that's all you can do really. And make the best decisions for you. But that's why I also say you need the right people around you. Because sometimes you can't make the best decision for you.
For sure.
And there needs to be people around you that help you make the best decision for you.
Let's talk about your wolf pack then. Who is part of your wolf pack? Everyone needs a wolf pack.
So everyone asks me if I've got management, and I don't. Again, I've worked in the management side of the business for quite a long time, co-managing, you know, people like WHP, Luis Obala, over the last 4 years, and being part of their management teams. So I've learned a lot, you know, and I feel like at this stage of my career, I don't need anyone managing me. So I don't really have a manager, but you know, I've got someone like Nick Berger at Universal, who is the digital marketing manager at Universal, who's just had faith in me from day one, and that's just incredible. I've got Kevin Grenfell, Gina Min, a whole bunch of people at Universal that are my A&R people that help me just from day-to-day stuff like contracts to telling me if they think a song's gonna work or
not. Yeah.
Then I've got amazing people like Jillian and Tekla from Deezer, who have made me part of the Deezer Next campaign, which is something huge, and I'm sure we can chat a bit more about that as well. And that's basically it. And then I'm an only child, so I have four or five people in my life that are like my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And as I said to you, like, sometimes you do, and more in my personal life though, but sometimes you do need people around you that can help you make the best decisions for you. And those are the people that I go to, people like, I don't even think they're listening, but Kirsten and Costa and Paula and a whole bunch of people who are like my extended family.
Yeah. That's something else I didn't know about you. You're an only child.
Yeah, man.
What was that like? You know, I grew up in a house filled with siblings. Like, I've got two siblings. My cousins lived with us. You know what I mean? I'm used to sharing everything.
Yeah, like I always say this. I'm like, I have no idea what it's like to have siblings, so I can't tell you if it's any different, if it's the same, if it's better, or if it's worse, because I've never had siblings. But the one thing I will say is that when I was younger, I was like, Mommy, Daddy, I don't have anyone to play with. Please have another kid. And now I'm like, so glad I don't have brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Because I make a decision and my parents are like, you go, boy. Whereas if I had a brother and sister, like, no, but Derek is studying medicine and you're a musician.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Makes a lot of sense.
Man,
yeah.
Like everything in life, it's got its pros and cons.
Yeah.
I think it has formed a big part of who I am. I'd like to think I'm not an only child, someone with an only child syndrome, which is like the negative, like me.
Yeah.
But I am someone that really appreciates my alone time, and I deal with a lot of things alone. But in a good way. I don't like sit in my room and cry in the fetal position, rocking back and forth. But I don't know. I just think it's contributed to who I am. And I'm just someone that's super strong and steadfast, I guess.
It's really cool.
Nice. Being the only child, have the parents always been, you go for it? Has it always been that thing when you want to do something? When you told them about this whole music, they're like, you know what? Go for it.
Look, they've always been extremely supportive, but I did make a decision when I was coming out of matric to go and study business instead of do music. Then the opportunity to do Idols came about, and I auditioned for Idols, and my parents said, go for it. And if you get through, we'll make the decision. And when I got through and said, make the decision, they said, it's your call. So yes, they have been very supportive. I think they've been skeptical at times. My mom's a former high court prosecutor, so super academic, like study. My parents have always just said, you do you, boo, I guess. I don't know any other way to put it. And yeah, very supportive. But also, I have studied. I've got a degree. So I think that also put particularly my mom at ease. So that's cool. Yeah.
That's really cool, man. You mentioned Deezer a little bit a little earlier on. So I think it's about time we jump into that. We are joined by one of the people that you mentioned a second ago.
Yeah.
Hi, Jillian.
Hello.
How are you?
Jillian.
I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, you've been sitting there all patient and stuff. I think it's about time we rope you into this conversation. Let's start right at the beginning. What is Deezer?
So first of all, I just want to say it was a very entertaining conversation. I've learned a lot about an artist I've been working with for quite a while here.
No, to be honest, you are one of the coolest people we've ever had the chance to interview.
Thank you.
Your outlook is really dope.
Thank you.
It's just really cool,
thanks,
man.
Guys. Make me blush here.
It's true for those of you who can't see him. Definitely a blush.
You see?
Yeah.
Damn it.
So Deezer is one of the world's top five music streaming services. So some people have heard of like Apple Music or Spotify. It's a very similar service available like in 192 countries and all over Africa. And, you know, one of the cool things about working for Deezer in Africa is the incredible focus on local music. Local as in South African, African. It's an incredible privilege to work for a company like this.
That's really cool. More especially because I feel like South Africans have got this idea that they are not part of the continent of Africa. Like, there's a lot of times where people will be
that
like, no.
So weird.
Right?
I was thinking of like, why is it that we think that we are somewhere else, not in Africa?
We always say South Africa and Africa.
And Africa.
Listen, sorry, I've got to come in here. Like, you know, you were talking about downgrades and recessions and stuff.
Yeah.
We're definitely part of Africa.
Of course. You know?
Sorry. Like, sure. We have to take that cap off now.
Yeah.
And we've got to just run with it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. The idea of connecting musicians across the continent is really cool. And I feel like a lot more streaming services should be, you know, making an effort to let people know what is happening on the continent. So shout out to Deezer for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are working on a project together, actually.
Yeah.
Which is called Deezer Next. What's up with Deezer Next?
So, you know, streaming tends to be about the Ed Sheerans of the world, and it tends to be about the superstar artists. And Deezer, earlier on in the year, made a commitment to working with breaking artists and emerging artists. And they called that the Next campaign, you know, who's next?
Yeah.
And so they announced three global artists in January, amazing artists, and then each territory was allowed to name their own artists. So we picked four artists, which we've just announced, and we picked Dom to be one of those artists, because I think anyone who's been listening to this interview knows exactly why we picked him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, sure. And the talent matches the enthusiasm. So we're very excited about his album that's coming out. And the idea is really to work with these artists, to give them everything that we can of our knowledge and our expertise and our publicity.
Yeah.
And just to work with young, talented artists and help them break into the industry, which, you know, don't be fooled by Dom's attitude. Not everyone is like him.
That's
you know,
why.
People really need help. They need help to navigate the crazy of the music industry.
Sure.
And especially streaming. I mean, Deezer has got 43 million tracks. How do you stand out?
Yeah.
We want to help these guys stand out.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help all South African artists stand out. But particularly guys who are younger, who are breaking, who don't have the knowledge and the insight to navigate that rocky road.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about this.
That means we are going to be introduced to a lot of new great music.
Yeah, and shout out to the other three guys, Raheem Kemet, Robin Third Floor, and Southern Wild.
I think that name is so cool, Robin Third Floor.
It's cool, man.
So
and his
cool.
stuff is really cool, man. So check
that,
it out.
Jake.
Look, you know what? I think streaming services have such a hard job because everything is so consumer driven, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, when the new Katy Perry drops, people want to open their streaming service and go and see Katy Perry at the top and be able to click on it and access it, right? Mm. But at the same time, streaming services have the power to give us, people like me, a break.
Yeah.
So it's like finding that balance where it's like, but the cool thing is then as well, is Deezer has this thing called Flow, which is like an algorithm that basically catches your listening flow.
Mm. Yeah.
So based on your feel like based on your previous listening and whatever, it like basically you can just click on it and it plays you stuff that it thinks you want to hear based on your listening history
and what you've
liked. So that's cool. I think finally people are starting to embrace streaming.
Yeah.
Like, we've been very slow in South Africa to do that. I know in Europe no one buys, like in Germany people buy a lot of CDs still, but it's like the real German stuff.
But all the commercial stuff,
like, you know, people don't have CDs in their car. They have their playlists on their favorite streaming service, and that's it. So it gives us such incredible power, and Deezer are using that power for good.
Can I ask this though? Do you think with the world that we live in now, streaming and YouTube and all of those things, like on demand type stuff, do you think it affects the music at all in how the music is made? Like, do we cut corners here?
Well, look, I just got back from I was in Germany for a month in February. I speak German as well. It's my mom's German. So I was in Germany for a bit and just I was there for studio sessions, writing sessions and whatever. And it's crazy what goes into it. You know, for instance, there's this theory amongst the guys I was working with, people of Universal Germany and some other agencies, saying like a track that is 2 minutes and 44 seconds is the optimum length for a track on a streaming service. Because they believe that that's how long you can keep someone's attention span. And, you know, like all these little things. And also, like, you need to remember the, I don't know, the context and the spheres in which people are listening to music on a streaming service. For instance, a playlist, right?
Yeah.
So you're clicking through a playlist. How do you grab someone's attention amongst all those other tracks, A? And B, how do you keep their attention within that playlist to keep listening to that playlist where more of your music might be on it, for example? So I think there is a changes. I don't think cutting corners is the right word. I think it's just you've got to be aware of the sort of space your music is being listened to.
Yeah.
You know,
there's definitely something to it. Like, music has evolved with formats. So for example, in the good old days, when you were creating an album sleeve, you put the artist's name in the top right corner because people would stand in the record store and they would flip like this with their finger.
Yeah.
And you had to have it in the top right corner.
Sure.
And then music was actually quite short. Music was quite short. And then the Beatles came along and radio hits came along and people started to make longer songs that were 3:30 to 4 minutes. And then I was reading some research the other day saying exactly what Dom was saying, that music's getting shorter again because of streaming. And everywhere you look, like for example, Dre says that the reason he produced headphones was because kids were squeezing 20,000 tracks into this tiny little iPod and it sounded like shit. It's so cool to be able to say that on radio. I just want to say,
hallelujah.
Work for the SABC. So, you know, people were squeezing these little songs in. The music sounded like shit, and he wanted to make headphones that made it sound better. And I thought that was such a great story. And then, like, I saw an amazing TED talk recently about the rise of the rock ballad. That artists started to write rock ballads because they started to do stadium shows.
Yeah.
And what sounds good in that environment?
Coldplay.
And that was the rise of the genre of the
Oasis. Yeah.
Or even before, like the Guns N' Roses era. You know, people started to write music. So people have always created music, I think, for the physical limitation, well, now the digital limitation of the tracks. So there's no question that streaming is affecting music.
Yeah.
And it's all about playlisting. It's all about getting on the right playlist.
Yeah, and you know, again, like, this is one of the things that really irks me when it comes to other artists sometimes, certain artists, is that just embrace what's given to you, man. Embrace the tools that are given to you. I mean, I've spoken to artists that are like, yeah, but streaming service is this and that. And I'm like, dude, do you understand the power at your hands to be able to use streaming to your advantage?
Yeah.
And it's like anything. Like, imagine when the CD came out, if people like in the late 80s or early 90s were like, oh, CDs, like, you know, you can't, it's not as big and what. Embrace what's given to you, man.
For sure.
You know,
well,
and
for sure.
And don't go in with a blind eye, for sure. But embrace it and use it to your advantage. Don't sit there and complain, because
you know what you just mentioned. It reminded me of a story my uncle told me once. He was a political prisoner at some point, so he was behind bars, and the music that he was listening to was on vinyl.
Yeah,
he stepped out of prison, and they had CDs, and he hadn't heard anything that clean in his life. You know,
yeah.
And he's one of those people that are. He's an avid music fan. Like, we can sit together for hours just listening to one jazz song after the next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his outlook is similar to yours. You know what I mean? It's about looking at your surroundings and finding the best way to fit in and move with them. You get what I'm saying?
And keep music at the center. I'm not saying don't keep music at the center.
Sure.
I try and always say, you know, people are like, oh, we've got this PR plan and that PR plan. I'm like, bro, let me hear the song first.
Yeah.
Because you can't polish a turd, I'm afraid. And that's how things work. So have that outlook and have music at the center. And I don't see why anyone can't make some sort of an impact on the industry if you've got a good product and you use the platforms to your advantage.
Well, just before we move on to a different topic, I want to tell you both that today's a very interesting day in streaming, because Taylor Swift is dropping her music today for the very, very, it's all around Dom's record company, Universal, because for the very first time, she's dropping her music. There's big controversy going on about why she's dropping it at the same time as the Katy Perry single. Shade. But that aside, it shows you how the world is starting to understand streaming, because she was one of those artists who said never, not streaming, not ever. Yeah. And yet all of a sudden she's dropping her whole catalog.
Yeah.
So it shows you that the world is changing. Artists are changing with it. Music is changing with it. You know, I can't say if having Taylor Swift on streaming is going to make a difference in anyone's life, but clearly she thinks it's important to be there, because let's be honest, no one can make Taylor Swift do anything.
Or maybe that hints at a new release, and she's realized that she can't, she has, let's get everything on, create a presence again on streaming, so that when she drops her new single at the end of July, that people know where they can find it. I think,
sure.
And I mean, you can quote me on that. Maybe I'll be right in 2 months' time.
Yeah,
I don't
spoken
know.
Like someone who used to work for a record label. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. You just turned into an exec for a second.
Coming back to Deezer.
Yes.
What is the criteria of collecting the music? Do you select the music, or do the artist sends you the music? Okay, can you put this on Deezer? What goes on
for Deezer in general?
Yeah.
So for Deezer in general, I mean, we want to have all the music in the world, but particularly the South African music, because it's very close to our hearts. So there's a system, to get technical for a second, there's a system called a digital aggregator, of which we have some wonderful companies in South Africa, but people can choose to go to an international one, and you put your music on that aggregator and they will get it all into Deezer for you. It's a really, you know, in the digital age, it is so easy.
It really is.
It's so easy, but then, you know, it's easy for everyone, so how do you stand
exactly
out?
Exactly, and it's super, 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 super saturated, you know.
It's
with power comes great responsibility as an artist, I guess. So everyone's got the same power, and you've got to try and make the song that's gonna, I don't know, it's tough. But also it is super easy, and too many artists come to me and they're like, I don't know how. I'm like, dude, that shows you haven't spent an hour on the tool given to you, which is called the internet, and really, really put time into it. Because if you go on and you go, how do I get my music onto iTunes? Trust me, dude, in half an hour, you'll have the right process in place, and it might take a couple of weeks until it's all approved and on.
Yeah.
But never say I can't, because it's not true.
Yeah, and you know, given how globalized the world is now, thanks to the internet, you can get immediate feedback on whatever it is that you put together. You can put it up there and let people know that it's out there, and realize if you're on the right track or not.
So I think one of the coolest things about music streaming, which funny enough comes from the saturation, is the playlist culture.
Yeah.
Music streaming is all about discovery. Music has never been more popular. People have never consumed this much music, because we've never had this kind of access.
Yeah.
And streaming services are amazing. Like, you go into Deezer, you say, I like Dom. And they'll say, well, cool, if you like that, can we suggest this? And of course, there's super technology behind this, the algorithms. They're matching you on your territory, the genre, like all this kind of thing. Was it a male artist? Was it a female artist? Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. I find it fascinating.
Incredible.
The technology. But just as a user, you know, we're leading you from one track to another in terms of discovery. So it's incredible that, yes, there's that saturation, but there's that discovery element as well.
For sure.
That is amazing. And, you know, who I find are the biggest proponents of streaming, as you've all just discovered, the artists. They love the music. They love the ability to find new music. It's about that music discovery. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who makes music myself as well, there's nothing better than hearing something that inspires you from someone else.
For sure.
You know, because there are times where you think to yourself, I don't know if I'm on the right track or whatnot, and you hear something out there and you think to yourself, actually, I was.
Yeah, you were talking about Reason earlier, right?
Yeah.
And Reason actually said something late last year. He was at some campaign and I was listening to him talk, and Reason said something that made so much sense to me. He said, someone asked him about writer's block, and he's like, what happens when you have writer's block? He says, I love writer's block, because writer's block makes me listen for a change.
For sure.
Instead of create.
Yeah.
And that's something I've taken into my own. I'm like, before I do anything in studio, I listen. Okay. You gotta listen. And I take it straight back down to the technical side of singing, right?
Yeah.
If I can't hear something, I can't sing it.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you listen to Sam Smith, right?
Yeah.
And he does all these runs, and you listen to Adele and she hits these notes, and you listen to people that write incredible hooks and melodies. They cannot ever externalize that before they hear it.
Yeah.
You hear it in your head first. You always hear it in your head first. I mean, we don't sing and go, ooh, that was cool.
Yeah.
You hear it in your head first. So I say to everyone, listen first. And that's my priority too. Friday's favorite day of the week. It's New Music Friday. first thing I do is put my earphones in the morning with my cup of coffee, and I'm just going through the new music.
Yeah.
It's the best thing.
It's really cool, man. Listen, we actually have been joined by a very interesting individual. Apparently, the car broke down on the highway. Blunt, what happened, brother?
Hey, man. Like, it's a pity. I can't say it in French, but...
No, say it in French.
It shit happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit happened.
Bro, this ain't radio, man.
Yeah, man.
This is unradio, but you say shit, man.
Yeah, man.
Whatever you want.
You don't like even have to say SH1T. You can just say shit.
Yeah, the car literally blew up. It just went like smoke.
Yes, you're looking good for someone that just went through that.
Yeah,
and
man.
And then it died.
Oh, shit.
That was it. Like, what? Like, we're 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
So we had to make calls, be like, yo, dudes. Let's do this shit. And then,
I'm sorry about that, man. I'm sorry about that.
Brother, yeah.
But you know what? Now that we have you in here, we've only got you for a couple of minutes before we end the show.
Yeah, man.
I want to jump straight into what you're doing. You're putting together an exhibition, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
Which one?
State Theater.
State Theater, yeah, I'll be exhibiting I Gave You Life,
yeah,
which is it's a project and a platform for mothers, you know, and women, and it also to educate men about what women go through while they're pregnant and so forth, and the importance of mothers, you know what I mean? I mean, if our mothers decide to take birth control pills, we wouldn't be here, for sure. So we hardly, as people, celebrate mothers and celebrate women, so I just want to celebrate them and say, yo, man, your stretch marks and your throwing up and whatnot, I appreciate that.
Yeah, especially in a country like ours where we have so many fatherless kids, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what
I mean? That makes mothers like 35,000 times more important, man.
Way more.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That's incredible.
That's the project that I've been pushing for the last 3 months.
Amazing.
So, yeah, I'm now showcasing from the 16th to the 20th of June.
Yeah,
at the South African State Theatre.
That's really cool, man. And to be putting your exhibition together at a platform such as the State Theatre, kudos for that. Congratulations for that. First and foremost, the message behind your artwork is one someone has to take home with them. Was that always something that you wanted to do with your photography?
I have no idea, hey? Because I've only been...
I love that.
No, that's fair to say.
I've only been in photography for 3 years. Like, I'll be turning 3 in November.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I didn't even know which way am I going to go, what I wanted to do. But as I was getting into it, I was like, you know what? I need to do work that will speak to people and be relevant to people, you know? When I started shooting news, you find people saying, yo, it's pornography, da-da-da-da-da. But then eventually they understood of why and what I was doing. You get what I mean?
Do you ever get caught up in the interpretation of your work? Because, you know, some people... You know, you take a picture and you have something in mind.
Yeah.
And when you hear some people conversating over it, you're like, I don't think you got it right.
So far, people are on the right track.
Okay.
Yeah, so far are on the right track.
But hold on, isn't that the beauty of it, though? Because sometimes people are like, listen to one of my songs and they're like, oh, dude, that's about this and this. I'm like, no, but that's cool. Like, holy crap, that's a cool interpretation. Like,
But I think the dope thing is you put work out there and let people, like,
for sure,
it should say something different to you and to you and to you and to you and to me.
For sure.
You get what I mean?
For sure.
If you all get the same message from it, then we didn't dig deep enough to put the work out.
You know, as far as photography is concerned, it's not like music, for instance, where, you know, I can listen to this type of song and it picks me up, you know, or listen to this type of song and it, you know, like, how do you... Your exhibition, for instance, the one you're going to have at State Theatre, how do you map things out in your mind to give your audience some sort of a story? How do you put things together? What All does right. it look like in your mind?
And I think I do exhibitions differently.
Okay.
With what I do is, it's not just you coming in and looking at the images and then you fuck off.
Yeah.
Right? I incorporate poetry in it.
All right.
So if you come to an exhibition but you are blind, the poetry will give you the images.
Okay.
You know, I incorporate dance in it as well. There's also music as well.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole body experience.
Okay.
When you come through, you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with most exhibitions, you go there, look at the images,
and
some wine,
and that's it.
So you don't get anything from it. You know what I mean? Like, I need you to come in and be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And start looking at things differently. You know, look at your wife differently. Like, baby, today, today we're not sleepy.
Yes, you see what I mean, for sure, man. You know, I am inspired by so many different things. Like, it, different things come into my music, into the way I do radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've never really hung out with photographers. What is it that you guys see? Like, do you sometimes walk past the place and realize, hey, wait, that will make a good picture? Or
you always look for images.
Always.
Like, yeah. When I'm chilling here, I'm like, oh, that looks nice. If I can just turn it around.
All right.
So there's images everywhere. Inspiration is everywhere.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? Hence, you find people that are, because now cameras are easy to get now, every second Tom, Dick and Harry are like, yo, I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
But it's more bigger than that. We have to visualize the image before you even shoot it. You get what I mean?
For sure.
So I must see the image and then I'm like, yo, let me just shoot it. Hence, sometimes I wish I had like that internal camera.
Yeah.
Just look me like, gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah. But with the way technology is working, man, you're not
that far off.
Man, I'm serious. Like, Chinese people watch TV on their glasses, okay? So,
soon.
A camera's not that far off. Man, you know what? Man, I really wish you had gotten here. I'm sorry about the car troubles and
all of that stuff.
Brother. I wish you were here, man. But we can reschedule.
Yeah, we can do this again.
Thankfully, I live in Pretoria, so I'll definitely come to the exhibition. You say it starts on the 16th?
Starts on the 16th, ends on the 20th, and then on the 16th opens at 5. And then on the rest of the days from 10.
Okay.
And then on the 20th, it opens at 7. Just for the screening, because I'm gonna do a short screening as well.
Cool.
And then plus the performances.
Really cool, man. Yeah, really cool. All right, guys, you know what, thank you so much for hanging out, man. You guys
thank
made this Friday
us,
so fantastic.
It's been awesome.
Oh, it's been awesome. So how do we keep up with you guys on social media platforms, from left to right, right to left?
Yo, Instagram at Blunt Moya, Facebook Blunt Moya Photography, Twitter at _ Blunt Moya.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, all my social medias, I am Dominic Neal. Dominic Neal is spelled DominicNeill, and that's across everything. Insta, Twitter, Facebook, I am Dominic Neal.
Cool, yeah.
So follow our Deezer Next artist at Deezer Next SA, and we'll guide you to find Dom's music and the other artists that we're working with as well. We'd love that.
Download the app and check it out. It's amazing. Yeah, play around with Flow. It's incredible.
Coolio, thank you so much for hanging out. Just like that, we're out of here, man.
Here we are.
20-something. Cliffcentral.com.